Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I'm going to begin with the Fatiha. If anyone else knows the Fatiha and wants to join in, please feel welcome. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ir-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim. Wallad-dallin. On our last phone call, I was working with just introducing the concept of Allah and the phrase Allahu Akbar, not as an old man in the sky who's angry at us, but as an invitation into the radical inclusiveness of the heart space, a vast ocean of unity that we step into by first stepping into the ocean of unity within ourselves, namely the heart. And without at least beginning to feel central ocean space in the center of our chest, nothing else that I would say would make much sense. I find it easiest to not just talk about, but actually conceive of and experience this when I actually put my hand over my heart, so that we can have a meaning for the word Allah, a meaning that has an inclusiveness to it, an openness to it, a place of resting within. Very important in all Sufi work to remember Allah as something that I am part of, a unity. Although this is quite baffling for some aspects of our being. And one of the great works of Sufi practice is to find ways to apprehend what unity might actually mean, and what inclusiveness in Allah might actually mean. Sufi practice is known as dhikr, or remembrance, because it's said that we really only have one spiritual difficulty, and that's amnesia. And so what we're working on is remembering the unity state, not just thinking about it, remembering it. And this, the Sufis find, is best done in stages. And there are even names for the stages of the layer-by-layer entry into apprehension of ourselves as part of a unity. How is it that we are all one, and yet most of the time it sure doesn't actually feel like that? In fact, it feels like someone else just took the parking space we intended. Feels like they forgot this and we forgot that, and it sure does seem as though there's a lot of distinction and even separation. How do I get from the sensation of being a distinct individual to the sensation of being radically inclusive in everything? We may not be able to make it in one jump. My teacher, Sidi Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jamal Arafaya Shadaliya, his book, Music of the Soul, he describes 28 stages or 28 stations of the heart, which are said to be the stages of the journey from the sensation of being separate to the sense of being radically inclusive in all. You could call it God realization. You could call it, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, that which we are here to remember. And those 28 stations or 28 stages of the journey are divided up into basically four groups of seven. So in shorthand, instead of talking about the 28 stations, we speak about the four layers of the heart. And these four layers of the heart consist of the first layer being sort of like the peel on the orange, the part of us that really does feel very much like an enclosed individual, the part of us which may never have a very easy time dissolving into a complete realization of unity, this outer shell, this animal soul, call it ego if you wish, has the most difficult time with apprehension of the unity. Yet there it is, a part of us, the crust, the skin, and it is the part that's out there facing the world most directly, and so it most often gets entangled in the action and is mostly where our worldly behavior comes from. Underneath the skin, underneath the rind of the orange, comes a much deeper, juicy part. A much softer place with deeper tides of feeling. And sometimes these places of inner softness, inner juice, are able to interact, often in very close relationships, parents and their children in loving moments, lovers, dear close friends, are able to connect juicy inner orange part of the heart. It's like the peel falls away. And this layer of the heart, known to Sufis as the Malakut layer, or the heart layer of the heart, is the layer of the sensation of the beloved. Whether it's between a parent and a child, or dear friends, or loved ones, this is the place where the word beloved comes easily to our lips, and where being called beloved feels believable, wonderful, and blissful. Our prayer and our sense of unity when we're in this layer of our heart, the beloved layer, is a place where there's more of a sense of unity because we're feeling that gushy, soft sense of skinless hug, of being really with in the loving. It's almost like the border between ourselves and others, when we're connecting from this layer, is much more soft, maybe not really there at all. So this is another level of apprehension of the divine. And it's a very different experience than apprehending the divine from that skin, that rind on the surface. Deeper even than this soft place is a place, a law, that we find when we drop even deeper into our heart, so deep that it's like we drop beneath the ocean and find bedrock. And when we find this layer, I've got you tenuously here. If you don't feel what I mean, I'm bringing the transmission anyway. We will visit this place many times. It will get easier to feel. I feel like I'm grabbing balloons and pulling them down. Ya Allah. When we're down in the third layer of the heart, this is when we begin to feel ourselves as a distinct creation, yes, but created as an extension of the Creator. The sense of having a destiny comes in this layer. The sense of having a walk that is my walk and a way that is my way. Not so much as an individual separate, but as an individual coming forth from, as though having been given a deep order. And the Sufis say that it is on this layer of the heart that we hear Allah's order, kun, or be, the feeling of ming men, the feeling of be, that order. And in fulfilling that order, be, in our distinct nature, we are a manifest extension of the Creator into creation. Deeper still than this, it's kind of like following a fountain backwards into the pool from which it arose, into a chaos space of vast pool of silent indistinction. It's hard to speak from here, and it is a great refreshment. I'm not actually going to even try at this point to spend much time in that layer, because a lot of the practices are about how do I find that place? How do I, given that I have these different layers of self, how does each of them approach, move towards the experience of unity? And since this deepest layer of our heart is already home, it doesn't really need that much work. It's the outer layers that could use a bit of help with remembrance, with returning, with realizing their own core. So I'm going to speak a little bit about the other three layers and how we come home, how we begin that approach, and how we form relationship with the unity in the parts of us that experientially feel quite distinct and separate. So coming back up again, let's start with the most grubby and difficult layer, since that's really where the majority of the work goes on. Yeah, Allah, astaghfir Allah. Up in the outer rind, the part of me that says, I'm hungry. The part of me that says, gosh, I have a lot on my list of things to do. The part of me that says, where's my socks? How does that attain unto the unity? What's that like? Because it's all very well to say, I am part of Allah, that I am part of God, or even to say, I am God, in a sense, but the party that's saying it is not necessarily worth considering itself such, shall we say. So for this part of me that's sort of stranded out on the periphery, the unity feels like something other than me most of the time. And this is where most exoteric religions take their start. How do I, if I am feeling separate, behave in relationship to the unity? And usually the answer to that question is obedience. So, in the naps or the mulk layer or outermost layer of the heart, where we feel separate, our proper relationship to the unity could be called obedience. Here I am, a fragment of the whole. How do I come into harmony with the whole? Well, obey the law of the whole. It feels like obedience. It feels like saying, okay, I will go with a flow that feels outside of me. I am part of it, but I do not feel myself as part of it. Therefore, my first move is, though I don't feel like part of it, I need to surrender to it anyway in order to come into it. So it's a paradoxical moment of saying, okay, I know I'm part of the unity, but I don't feel like part of the unity. How do I get hip, you know? And surrender, therefore, is the first step. Now, this is very annoying, especially to the part of us that experientially feels most individual. It's much more comfortable to just go around saying, well, I am God, or at least part of God, and then do whatever I want and feel holy about it. It's a whole other annoying process to say, okay, I am not directly apprehending the unity. I sure would like to. I believe that I'm part of it. How do I soften my rind? How do I soften my will? How do I soften myself so that I can feel the movement of that which is greater than my will? So that I can come into alignment with it. So that I can feel more like part of it. And for Sufis, the practice is the practice of chanting Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. You could try saying this. Astaghfir.
Astaghfir.
Yeah, it's sort of like a G and sort of like a K. Astaghfir.
Astaghfir.
Allah, and either Al-Azim with a TH or Al-Azim with a Z. Either are correct, depending on whether you're feeling Turkish or Arabic that day. Astaghfir Allah Al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah Al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah Al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah Al-Azim. What are these funny words and why do we say them? They are the repentance prayer. They basically mean, please forgive me, Allah, from your greatness. Repentance is so different than just feeling like a hunk of shit over what you've done or who you are. Repentance is the process of saying, okay, the space I've been in, that's not true to my deepest intention. What I really am, what I really meant, what I am really for and all about is something else, Allah. Please, I ask all beings and all being, I ask the unity to recognize me, not as the one who did this thing, but as the one who recognizes that this is not my truth. Such that the act of repentance is not an act of shame or self-degradation, but an act of reclaiming of self-worth and self-respect. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I take responsibility. I did it. But it was not done from my truth. Please judge me as the one who knows that this was not a rightful thing. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. And so the practice of repentance is the practice of turning back to all being, turning back to the unity and saying, oops, this is done over serious issues where we run the risk of further alienating ourselves from the divine because of what we've done, because it can become such a downward spiral, you know. You did something that was pretty obviously not holy, and now because of that you put yourself into exile and damnation and say, I'm not worthy. See, I've proved it. And then you're kind of stuck, and it's terrible. And that's the worst of it in many ways. Is that feeling of, okay, now I'm this nasty, awful failure, dreg of a person. So the relief of having a repentance practice is tremendous. To be able to say, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, to have a sacred language in which there is a tradition by which this vibration has a meaning. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. And specifically, especially if it's something that's a serious issue, the practice is to say it 500 times. And we have beads that are 100 beads around, so it's like 5 rounds of beads, but you can do it with your fingers or anything that you like. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. To send the message loud and clear, please, that does not represent me. What I did here in this world, my actions, my behavior. Please judge me as the one who knows that and is sorry. That is more truly who I am. So it can be used for serious things like that. But it can also be used on an absolutely routine level of saying, oh, you know what? I can tell that my degree of God realization right now is just not all that it could be. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Please do not judge me based on my bumbling around the parking lot cursing about not having a quarter. Help me. Astaghfir Allah. I have forgotten. In a moment, I had forgotten that I am part of all things. And I'm having a hard time knowing it directly. I'm feeling separate. Astaghfir Allah. I'm sorry about that. Please, judge me by my wish to be apprehending the unity and my place in it. Astaghfir Allah. Astaghfir Allah. So it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It means I have an intention that is holier than what I'm capable of carrying out right now. And I'm recognizing that. And that begins the turning. The Astaghfir Allah al-Azim is also the practice that is the formal signal to Allah to override our free will. Because in matters, for instance, of serious repentance, we may have done or may still be doing something that we're perfectly clear is not all right. It's not even all right with us. I may be very angry with someone and rageful and have a feeling of wanting to hurt them. And I may be horrified at myself for having this. And rather than stuff it under and repress it and you know, going ahead and getting some autoimmune illness or something about it, I can say, Astaghfirullahaladzim, Astaghfirullahaladzim, Astaghfirullahaladzim. And for the whole time that I still am not able of my own free will, unfortunately, to be able to stop the raging, I can be simultaneously, moment by moment, turning it over to the Unity, Astaghfirullahaladzim, and saying, please do not judge me by this, but by my desire to be free of this. And I give you permission, Astaghfirullahaladzim, I give you permission, Allah, in your greatness, to intervene. It's like the turning it over to a higher power of Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't stop feeling this way. I know it's wrong, and I can't seem to stop. I need your help. Astaghfirullahaladzim is the way of saying, I need your help. And in order to get your help, I need to surrender to a higher power. And that's a huge, huge thing, because we have free will. And so Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullahaladzim, Astaghfirullahaladzim, please, I give you permission. Please, I lay this at the feet of all there is. Please help me. In matters that are great, again, it is recommended a minimum commitment of 500. There's something that happens when you commit to not getting up until you've done 500 of them. That's powerful. In purely routine matters of trying to figure out how do I go from walking around feeling like a separate person to coming into an apprehension of unity, of being able to surrender enough of my own will and my self-direction enough to be able to feel how the ocean moves me, to feel the Tao, to feel the unity. Astaghfirullahaladzim, please beam me up. I can't do this myself. I turn over to a higher power. My first act of surrender is to say, I cannot know thee without aid to help me know thee. Turn me around. Help me to say the deepest uncle, to be dragged back from whatever pettiness, whatever distraction I'm in order to be able to let go. It's so hard to let go. It's so hard to lay down the will, even when what we want most is to come into the unity, to lay down my intellectual arrogance, to lay down the pride of my knowing. Say, I'm letting it go. Everything I want except my wanting to be more with you. There's a, in the group heart, it's up around bladder 3, bladder 4, up at the hairline. If you follow the line of the brow around where the nose is up to the hairline, it's very bright up there. It's resonating through the group. There's going to be a need for prostration. The Sufi prayer position is kneeling, but not just kneeling. This is total prostration, not just kneeling. I take that part of my head, that bright, bright shining star, and I bring it down to the ground. Yeah. To know thee, in a sense, I have to let go of all this shining in my head and even let go of knowing thee. I need to be able to bow very, very, very low. To enter. Take me into your darkness, Allah. Take me into your darkness. And when I'm speaking from the nafs, from this outer layer, it's true. When I say Allah, I am feeling as though I am speaking to someone other than myself. This is an illusion. I even know it. But from this outer layer, it's an experiential reality, and one that must give rise to an answering experiential humility. I am in the presence of something greater than myself, which I am part of and I am not yet directly feeling and knowing myself as part of. With humility, I say, Astaghfir Allah, and bow my head very low. I will not know thee with my mind or with my shining spirit until I've bowed low enough to be, yeah, there we go, taken into the darkness of surrender. Good. Exactly. There we go. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. Ya Allah. There is a way of knowing Allah and desiring to know the unity, which in itself creates separation. A separation between the knower and the known. This is dangerous. This is the light up there at that place in the head, right by the hairline that must touch the ground. As long as there is a desire to know, as though I am a knower, I cannot pass through this door without bashing my head down. I will be of thee first. Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. All my arrogance comes down to this, a desire to be humble, a desire to enter through a very low door, a desire to obey, because only through obeying will I begin to feel these movements. Through the surrender, I begin to feel, yes, I am moving in an ocean. Yes. This is devoutness and piety on the lowest level. When I say the lowest level, I actually mean the most difficult level. To be devout is to be, in a sense, blindly obedient, because my intellect will not understand, but my heart can feel in a hotter, hotter, colder, colder way. It's not blind faith as far as the heart is concerned. I'm feeling myself in surrender to something greater than myself, and my wish is to obey. My wish is to move as the Tao is moving and be servant of this, be harmonized with this. But my intellect is not going to understand this, and so in that sense, it is a blind obedience. This simple, one could call it simple faith, this iman, is the most difficult thing. And so we have very frequent opportunities to say, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim, Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. And we begin our practices, generally speaking, with spending some time making Astaghfir Allah, making repentance for having sailed around in the world as though we were an individual movable unit, capable of changing the ocean's tide with our bit of splashing. And instead, as gateway to the deeper layers, the layer of knowing myself beloved of Allah in the second layer of the heart, and knowing myself extension of Allah in the third layer of the heart, and wordlessly knowing Allah in the fourth layer. A lot of time is gratefully or sometimes painfully spent in Astaghfir Allah al-Azim. In a few moments, we'll take a few minutes to just practice this as our last thing that we're going to work with, and then we'll work with how the other layers of the heart move into apprehension of the unity on later weeks. But I want to mention that this is something that can be used through the week, to see if you can make a habit of it, if you can make a meditation of it, even in the middle of driving the car Oh, astaghfirullahaladhim, astaghfirullahaladhim. Have I forgotten that I am part of the unity? Have I still forgotten it, even though I'm remembering that I've forgotten it? Because to remember it intellectually is not to remember it. Have I lost the state? Which, when I've lost it, is re-entered through obedience. And obedience is re-entered through repentance, through a letting go of a waywardness. Astaghfirullahaladhim. Astaghfirullahaladhim. I give permission to the unity to help me surrender. I surrender to a higher power. Please make yourself felt. Please intervene. Astaghfirullah. 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 Before taking the last few minutes to just do some astaghfirullahaladhim together, does anybody have any questions?
Can you spell it?
Not really, but I can fake it. I can say A-S-T-A-G-H-K-F-I-R, astaghfir as a word, Allah, A-L-L-A-H, and then the third word is a hyphenated word, al, A-L, dash, A-T-H-I-M. Or A-Z-I-M. It's sort of a combination of a T-H and a Z. Okay. So, Allahu Akbar, please hear our desire to come closer into the unity, to partake of the unity, to know with our hearts, not as separate knowers. We lay it down, we lay it down. But in simple obedience, as to a greater tide, to return. Astaghfirullahaladhim, 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 astaghfirullahaladhim. Astaghfirullahaladhim, 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 astaghfirullahaladhim. It's nice if you want to chant along. Some folks may be muted, others may not. If you put your fingers lightly on your chest, in your heart area, and you chant in such a way that you get the maximum amount of vibration that you can right there through your heart, you'll get the major effect of it. If you go, astaghfirullahaladhim, it just doesn't do it the same way as if you let it rumble right through your heart. I'll start again. Astaghfirullahaladhim, astaghfirullahaladhim, astaghfirullahaladhim. Astaghfirullahaladhim, 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 astaghfirullahaladhim. Astaghfirullahaladhim, 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 astaghfirullahaladhim. Astaghfirullahaladhim, astaghfirullahaladhim, astaghfirullahaladhim. Wa laylah illahu al-hayl kayyum wa tubu ilayh. My beloved Allah, please help our apparent individuality to keep surrendering and returning to you. to dive under this doorway that requires us to prostrate completely, to come into the real knowing of you by being part of and knowing ourselves part of. Amen. With much love and thanks, that's our Tuesday Sufi class of the week. Thank you. Yeah. Take care, dear ones.